Matthew 28 tonight. Praise the Lord. I am here to tell you, church, this is the very last one of this series pertaining to the king in the book of Matthew. There's no more left of the book when we get to this passage, all right? So the king, we looked at this morning, the king's departing remarks. And tonight is part two of that. The king's departing remarks. We've seen Jesus as king all throughout this book. And Matthew here leaves us with this great commission. And this morning, if you weren't here this morning, we looked at verse 17 of this passage. Matthew 28, verse 17. How when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And I'm not here to re-preach the message, but just a reminder that even though they saw him resurrected, some needed to hear it again a couple times. They needed to see it again. They hesitated. That's what that word is implying there. They hesitated. And I took you to that other word that was from the Greek, same Greek word here, only found twice in all the Scripture. And it's found here in Matthew 28 and again there in Matthew 14 when Peter was walking on the water going to Jesus and he saw the wind and he saw the circumstances around him and the hesitated. He doubted. It's not that he doubted Jesus. It's not that he's the one that had enough faith to step out in the water. But he looked around at everything else and he hesitated. And the truth is, I didn't actually get to that point yet this morning, but church, I as your pastor, sometimes I look at what's around me and I hesitate. Because you do it too, don't you? Fear men's faces, or we let the devil provide us with an excuse why not to give somebody the gospel. Don't we? Yeah, we do. We do. Even when we feel that prick of the Holy Spirit, there's a reason, there's an excuse that's automatically presented to us. Well, yeah, that's a hesitation, and that's what we see here. But first, look back at verse 16, please. Tonight, the king's departing remarks, but look at where they are. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into where? Galilee. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Okay, so the Lord had already told them to go there. Remember back earlier in this chapter when Jesus arose from the dead, he saw those women first. And he said, run and tell my disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee. I'll see them there. Now, I have to be honest with you, church. I began to think about that. Matthew doesn't deal with the Mount of Olives here. He doesn't deal with the Ascension. He doesn't really deal with the upper room where they met with the disciples there that night of. And then 8 days later with Thomas and all. He doesn't deal with all of that. But yet, here he deals with Galilee. The only other of the Gospels that deal with Galilee region would be John. In fact, would you take just a marker or something and mark here? And let's go over to John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20. And in John 20, we have the same, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the same time frame here. And I want you to see some things that are going on here in John chapter 20, please. The Bible says in John chapter 20, it says in verse 19, it says, John 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Well, wait a minute, why were they assembled? For the fear of the Jews. That's why they were assembled together in a closed room there. They were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Okay? So he shows up that night. They're having Sunday night church there. You see that? They're having Sunday night church. He shows up in their midst. They're in there with the doors shut, scared for fear of the Jews. And he shows up. But he had sent the ladies to say, hey, meet me in Galilee. He told the ladies to tell the disciples, meet me in Galilee, but yet he shows up that night when they're assembled together. Now, look down in verse, obviously Thomas was not there, and we see that in verse 24. He was not there with them when Jesus came. But look with me in verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Now, when I see that, I'm making an assumption. They're within, the doors closed, in the same place they've already met the week before that. 8 days later, it sounds, the wording there sounds like that would be the same. And it says now, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. Now, if that's not an eye-opener, the Lord walks through walls right here. I mean, he just appeared. Okay, the doors are shut in here. Wouldn't it be something the Lord just appeared right here in the center aisle? Man, we'd have some, we ought to be having revival anyway because he's here with us, but that would get our attention tonight, wouldn't it? Okay, now, here they are, 8 days later, they're still in Jerusalem. That's my understanding from this passage. They're still there. But Jesus had told them, I'm going to meet you in Galilee, but yet he's now met with them twice in Jerusalem. But we can't forget about the Galilee region. How does all this play out? All four of the Gospels do not give us real great details of the next 40 days after his resurrection. They don't give us a bunch of details. They give us little pieces. We see him in the upper room. Then eight days later, we see him in the upper room. And then John talks about there at the shore of Galilee and all of that, the Sea of Galilee there on the shore and all of these things. Now, in chapter 21 of John, same page in my Bible here, it says in verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, don't let that confuse you now, okay? Tiberias was a city around the Sea of Galilee, and sometimes, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken here, I believe Tiberias, saying the Sea of Tiberias, was common in that day for a Gentile to say, if I'm not mistaken there. And it would say Sea of Tiberias, but it means the Sea of Galilee. And so he shows himself to them at the sea. Now we understand this passage, right? We've heard preaching out of John 21. They went fishing. Remember, Peter said, I go fishing. In other words, well, enough with the ministry. I got to go back to my old life. And we've heard those messages. We've heard the preaching on that chapter. But a lot of the disciples go with him. And Jesus shows up one morning, well, this morning right here, cooking breakfast on the shore. Now, I like to figure out in my mind, because I'm a guy with maps, trying to figure out where would this have been, and what about in Matthew 28, the mountain at Galilee that he meets with them in? What mount do we know around the Sea of Galilee where he's already met with them and preached a big message? The Sermon on the Mount. If you remember back in the Sermon on the Mount, we covered that. I know that it was like 400 years ago, but it was Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, right? I say 400 years because we've been in Matthew a long time. I'm not trying to lose you tonight, okay? At least 2 years ago. All right, now, so the Sermon on the Mount took place on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. If you can just imagine a round body of water, kind of more of like oval-like, and it would be up here on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. That's where the Sermon on the Mount took place. I have been there. It's magnificent the way the Lord designed the land there. He literally made this stadium seating, if you will, with the shape as a little bit of a bowl cut out of it just a bit, where a man could speak and everybody could hear him. He would not have been up on top of the mount, but he would have been down below there speaking to these big masses sitting up on the hill there, and everybody could have heard him. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say this, but I have it in my mind understanding. John says he showed up at the shore. They've been out fishing all night. He feeds them breakfast, and he says, man, I want to meet with you. I want to meet with you. And right there, if they were on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, why not take them to a very familiar spot where Jesus already showed himself to many right there teaching them the Sermon on the Mount? It makes a lot of sense. Now, I can't dogmatically tell you that's exactly where it was because the Bible doesn't say that. But it makes a lot of sense that Jesus Christ showing himself in his resurrected body here, and he wants other people to see him resurrected. Now, here it is. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, I hope you still got your marker in Matthew 28 because we're coming back there. All right? 1 Corinthians 15. We're jumping around just a little bit, but I want you to see these things. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this is the passage I quote often where Paul's saying the gospel is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that was the gospel that he had been given. And then he talks about after his resurrection, he talks about those that have seen him. Okay, look with me in verse 5. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. That just means those that he showed himself to after the resurrection, many of them were still alive when 1 Corinthians was penned down. That's what that means, okay? 500 people saw Jesus resurrected at one time. I'm sitting here in my office just studying this thing out going, Lord, teach me here. Help me to understand this. Is it possible that he he showed himself to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee on that shore, and he cooked them breakfast, and they came over to the northern part of the shore there where he was. Remember Peter, he grabbed his coat and he covered himself and jumped in the water. Remember that? Because he wasn't dressed properly and all of that. And then they came in and they had so much fish. Remember that? But the net didn't break and all of that. And then they come to the breakfast time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Right? And all of that, right? That's where we get that song based off that scripture. And I'm thinking, if this happened, Rusty, I know I'm assuming some things here, but I'm picturing it in my head, okay? If this happened on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, right there would have been the same place he would have taught the Sermon on the Mount, where there would have been a multitude of people learning from him. Is it possible that these 500 people that heard him or saw him in his resurrected body were there? It's possible. I don't know that to be certain, but it's possible. And I'm trying to scratch my head on this because here's why. Here they are over here, a week later, 8 days after the resurrection, they're still in Jerusalem, but yet he says, I'm going to see you in Galilee. He's already showed himself twice. And then he shows up to them when they've gone home and went fishing. He shows up to them in Galilee. But go over to Acts chapter 1. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, please. I know I'm bouncing you around. I'm just doing that so some of you stay awake. I'm trying to help you, okay? Acts chapter 1. Hey, it's been a good long day serving Jesus. And I know it's warm. And it's been a long time and you're sitting down now. Okay? And the temperature's just right. It's good. I mean, Brother Rubio, he's counting Z's right now, okay? But he's had a long weekend of moving too. Praise the Lord. All right? Everything's okay. Look at Acts chapter 1. And look with me if you would. Verse 8, we have the verse where he says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's the great commission right there in the book of Acts, right there given to us. And it says in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Imagine that. The Lord's talking, and boom, he just gets taken up in this cloud, and then we have the angels. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, it would make sense if they were still in Galilee, but they're not in Galilee. Because look at the next verse, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from where? The mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So here we have pictures. Here we see the disciples in Jerusalem, resurrection happens. They hear about it. Some of them are having trouble with it. Peter and John, they race to the tomb, all these things. And then Jesus shows up to them that night. Just poof. They're kind of hiding, kind of scared. I don't know what the Sanhedrin's going to do. I don't know what everybody else is going to do. They're a little bit worried, okay? They're being blamed that it was their fault. Remember, do you remember last week we looked at the passage? The Sanhedrin paid off the soldiers to say, you were sleeping on the job while the disciples came and stole the body. So they're kind of hiding for fear of the Jews. Here he shows up. Then 8 days later, he shows himself again, says they're within. And then we find in John that they're on the Sea of Galilee, he shows up again. Then we find out that he showed himself to 500 brethren at one time. And now we find out that they're back in Jerusalem again. And here's the end, 40 days after his resurrection, when he ascends into heaven, they're on the Mount of Olives. Now, why is he on the Mount of Olives? Because it's very fitting. Now, there might be some Old Testament prophecy here that I'm unaware of that maybe he's fulfilling in this. But I do know that Zechariah very clearly says that when he comes again, he will come down on the Mount of Olives. So he returns to where he left. So I know that for sure. But here's the big thing. I get your pastor here, me, I get caught up in these details of the Scripture. And I like it. And I dig this stuff out. I enjoy this kind of thing. But the Lord didn't so much focus on all the wares. He gave us little pieces, little pictures. The focus was, I'm leaving, and I got a job for you while I'm gone. Isn't that the focus tonight? It's kind of like those talents. The master's leaving. And to some, right, he gave five talents, another, right, two, another one, we see 10 and five and one and all that. And we see that here. That's what's going on. Let's go back to Matthew, please. Let's go back to Matthew. And I promise I won't be long on this. I want to show you this now. This morning we talked about relinquishing our control. All power is given unto Him. It's His authority. It's His power that He's giving to us to go, in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We looked at remembering His command, and we went down through this command, understanding that we are to reach the nations. Again, Matthew is writing this to his Jewish brethren, the ones that were supposed to be a blessing to all the families of the earth, according to Genesis chapter 12. And here, the commission is, we've got to take this message to all nations. And then we got to baptize them. And then we got to continue to teach them all the things that I've observed to do, all the things I've commanded you. There's two words in here I want to draw your attention to, and then I'm going to be done. Okay? The word go and the word low. The word go and the word low. That's one and two. There's your points. All right? What does that mean? The word go, the definition here is to traverse. It's to journey. We're moving on purpose. All right? When Jesus tells us here, go, ye therefore. Again, remember this morning, therefore links us back to His power. Because He has power, because He's been given power, as the Son of Man, prophecy of Psalm chapter 2, I believe it's verse 8, if I'm not mistaken, where He says, ask of Me, talking about the king that He put in Jerusalem. He says, ask of Me, and I will give you the inheritance of the heathen. Ask of Me, and I'll give you the uttermost parts of the earth. And Jesus is saying, He's given to Me. The Father has given Me all this power. It's given to Me. He says that right here. And He says, because I have the authority, and I have the delegated authority from the Father, I now delegate it to you to go teach the nations. And He says go here on purpose, because go means to journey. It means to travel. It means to on purpose. Go to. Church family, that's where I fail sometimes. Because a lot of people automatically come to me. They want to meet. People come to church, whatever the case is. And I don't mind giving out the gospel. I teach the gospel. I give the gospel. But it didn't say, just live a good lifestyle and witness to people that come to you. He didn't say that. He said, go. On purpose, we are to go to give the gospel. I've got to go down to the hospital here, the old city hospital down here, whatever it's called now, Berkeley Medical Center. I got to go down there, and I got to, hey, people coming out of the hospital, and they're crying because somebody's dying in there. Can I pray with you, and let me show you where the hope of Jesus Christ is? We can go witness and give the gospel to folks right there that need it and are willing to pray with you. We can go down here and knock doors. We see that evidence in the book of Acts. We can go to our neighbors, and we can invite our neighbors to our house. But the purpose is we are going with purpose to give the gospel, not just by accident. There are so many good people that live on purpose to say, I'm just going to do my live my life here, and as the Lord brings them into my life, I'm going to witness to them. That's great, and we ought to do that. But there's a key note here, this word, go, on purpose, that is the command. There are to be times when we are purposed with giving the gospel. Now, that can mean a lot of things. That doesn't, he didn't say, thou shalt show up Tuesday night, it's 6 o'clock to go to the soul winning time. We give opportunities at the church to do it. Yes, Saturday morning and Tuesday night right now, and we have that. But what about if you were going to the grocery store and with purpose you said, I'm looking for opportunities to give the gospel out? That's going with purpose. You're going in that decision, not, well, when somebody says, oh, you must be a Christian. I've watched you. Oh, no, wait. Going on purpose, like sticking a 5 or 10 tracts in your pocket and saying, hey, can I give you one of these? Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ has changed my life. Let me give you one of these. I want to give you this word of God here, the word of God here in just a little card form. You can tell by giving a tract to somebody if they're interested in having a conversation. And that's going on purpose. That's going with purpose. Jesus told us to go, but we can't have the go without the low. See that word in there, go and low? We can't have the go without the low. And the reason why we don't go is because we forget about the low. Now, what's the word low mean? I defined it here. I wrote down the definition. It means to see, to know, or be aware. And what's he say here? Look at verse 20. Right in the middle of the verse. And lo, behold, know this, be aware of this, and lo, I am with you always. Now that word always, it's the same as always. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what the Lord's saying here is? I've given you a commission to go on purpose and give the gospel to the nations. But I've not left you alone. I'm with you. It's my authority and my spirit is with you. Go, because there's a low, because Jesus Christ is your power, your authority, and your backing as you're speaking to people. That's Bible. The presence of the Lord is the reason we can do these things. You understand. I just did it again today, okay? Widow's banquet. I just start talking and things come out that shouldn't come out. It just happens. Okay? I tried to pawn off all the decorations to all the widows today. And anyways, I told them they could keep the balloons and suck the helium and all those things. Apparently, I was giving away decorations. Shouldn't be given away because they was attached to things and all kinds of stuff. It was bad. I opened my mouth. It happens sometimes, okay? And you say, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to say the wrong thing and I'm going to be at the door and I'm going to go, no, that's where the low comes in. That's where the low comes in. Lo, I am with you always. I'm going to give you the words to say. He told those apostles in the book of Acts, he said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to give it to you. The truth is, church, that happens if you are a preacher of the gospel, or if you've ever been behind this desk here and preached the word of God. Sometimes, like, what am I going to say? Well, the Lord just gives it to you. If you are a person filled with the Spirit of God, relying on Him, He just feeds you. I mean, He feeds it to you. You know me. You all are starting to know me pretty well and how of a, much of a fool I can make of myself. And yet when I'm preaching the God, I'm telling you, because I've purposed and asked the Lord, let your will be done. Let your spirit be heard. And God does it. And he does it with great power. We don't have to fear the go because we have the low. Amen? We don't have to fear the go because we have the low. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads tonight. And while you're bowing your head tonight, I'm just going to ask you now, who was the last person that you shared the gospel with? What does that mean, Pastor? Does that mean in tract form? Sure. Who's the last person you gave a tract to? I'm talking about a gospel tract with the gospel written on it, a way to find out how to know for sure you're going to heaven, how to know that you're a child of God. Who's the last person that you went through the gospel with? Well, I haven't had opportunity. The truth is, if we're focusing on the go, we will have opportunity eventually. Well, it's just been a really long time. I'm going through a dry season. Is it because we're not focusing on the go part? Lord, help us tonight, please, to understand this commission that we've been given. Understand the end of the book of Matthew here, and we see it in Mark, and we see it in Luke, and we see it in John, and we see it in the beginning of Acts, and how you've given us a command to reach the nations. But Lord, that's plural, and it starts right here. Lord, how sad it is that so many Americans have never been to church, not once. How sad it is that there are children growing up in our country that don't even know who Jesus is. Lord, it used to be that America was the primary country sending missionaries to the world, and now missionaries are coming here from other countries. God, what a great mission field you've given us right here. We are a strong missions church, and we know about the uttermost. But yet we are failing right here in our own turf. Lord, this Jerusalem right here you put us and the Judea around us. Help us tonight, convict us, and teach us that we ought to be that shining light that you've reminded these disciples of over and over again in this book, this one book of Matthew. Help us tonight. Help the preacher tonight, Lord, myself, to be a man ready to give the gospel and go with purpose. But Lord, I can't do that go if I don't remember the low. It is your authority, it is your power, and it's your presence about me that makes it happen. Help me, please, to remember these things. And we give you now this time, this invitation time. The piano's going to play. I'm going to ask you to stand with me.